Almighty God, mighty God, mighty God, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. Reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you right now and just pray. If you got the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost flow through every vessel, on every house. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Pray down the blessing of God on them. Call them by name. Pray strength for them. Pray anointing for them. Blessing for them. God's goodness in their home and in their life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you. We bless your name. We praise your name, oh God. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise God. If you believe God hears and answers prayer, let's lift him up, magnify him. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So many good things going on. Our sister that received the Holy Ghost and was baptized this morning. I forget who I was with, but I was with somebody at Tzatziki's early this week, and I gave her a card. And she's already been working with Maria. Maria's been working with her and talking to her. And then I think there are some other connections here with her. But God, if God's after you and has his sight on you, he'll send out a fleet of people to talk to you and touch you and bring you. And aren't you glad somebody brought you to the house of God? Let's give God praise for pouring out the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Appreciate all the good singing and the music and every ministry that's been going on. Our apologies again to the kids. We still don't have Sunday school because we're all torn up in the Sunday school department. And we're getting flooring in and painting and ceilings and all kind of stuff. So when all that gets done, we'll turn you back loose and get you back up there in the land of snacks and good lessons and all that stuff. And you'll be happy again. And you'll live happily ever after. But for the short term, we'll all gather in here together in the old boring adult class where there are no snacks. And so we'll just make our way through it. By the way, church family, if you happen to find children in areas that are obviously under construction, corral them and find out who they belong to. They don't belong to anybody. Just take them home with you. But don't let them run around. And if you're a craftsman and you're working here and you leave tools overnight, be sure you don't leave sharp things, and be sure that you don't leave drills with batteries connected, because little boys just want to see how many holes they can make in people or things. So we're baptizing somebody right now. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So if you're wondering about the emphasis on that, the scripture is very plain. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or you can't get in. So that's the basic entry-level experience into the kingdom of God. Being born of water is being baptized in his name according to the word of God. And being born of the Spirit is being filled with his Spirit. And when that happens, it'll happen to you just like it happened to the first crowd 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Spirit and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And that experience has been the same now for these 2,000 years. Everywhere you find people with the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues. It's the initial experience evidence, and then it's a continuing experience. As you build yourself and build your life in God, you should speak in tongues every day. And in your prayer life, and then through your worship times, and in the house of God, and in church, that should be in you a river of living water, a well springing up into everlasting life. And there's a lesson on that, but we're not doing that today. So just take it easy around the construction sites, and take care with our children. Everybody kind of watch out for our kids. And if you see something that's not particularly safe, let's do something about it. And we'll get this done here. Appreciate all the good work and the coordination that's going on to revamp those Sunday school spaces. And it's going to be really nice when we get it all done. And appreciate all that. We're going to celebrate the Quizzers tonight, and they're going to give a presentation. We're going to take some time and recognize a year of hard work and excellent performance, and they're hiding the Word of God in their hearts. And you want to really take Sister Sarah on your heart. They called this morning. She's in a lot of pain, and she's still very sick. So we want to be in prayer with them. They've been through a long, dark valley here, and we need God to touch their lives. We're going to read this morning from Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. That's right. And so we're going to open the trumps today. And we've gone through the seals. Now we're making our way through the trumps. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. Your prayers make their way into the presence of God, and they're escorted there by angels. I don't understand all that. I'm just reading from the book right now. But your prayers are important business that make their way to the altar that is before the very throne of God. God hears your prayers. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God always hears your prayer. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is, it goes up and it comes down, and God answers prayer. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God will answer your prayer. Keep praying. Anybody believe that? Anybody a witness of that? Is there a testimony about that in the house today? And the seven angels, so what God cast down into the earth now is going to be manifest in these seven trumps. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which are in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. If you love his word as you're seated today, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, and we praise you. We thank you for the privilege to handle your word in this house today. We pray you change us and build us and shape us by the power of your word. And everyone said amen. So we're making our way through the book of Revelation. And it is not linear, but we can only deal with one thing at a time. And so as we're moving through this, we are living today in a very prophetic day. God's word, God's prophecy is coming to pass all the time throughout the timeline of man's history. But we are living in the days of cumulative things and things that are coming to a culmination. We are living down at what some call the last days or the end time. And so our prophetic day is set in a context that is unlike centuries that have gone before us. Israel has been scattered all over the earth twice, according to the word of God. God said that before they were ever scattered, and he's gathered them back twice, and they are in the land today. They are back in the land for the meeting that they're going to have with Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth. And so they're not going to be scattered again. They're not going to be defeated again. And they're going to be there in the midst of the land of Abraham when the Lord comes. That had to happen. And that has happened. And God's done it. And he talks about it in this wise. He said, in that day there shall be an ensign of the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. He's going to be a root of Jesse. He's identified by family. He's identified as the Old Testament projecting who Jesus Christ will be. And it says, in that day, the Lord will stretch forth his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which will be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He's scattered them everywhere, and he's gathered them back from everywhere. Now, Isaiah's writing 700 years before Jesus Christ, and he's talking about events that have not yet happened. At the time of his writing, Israel has never been scattered once, but he's saying they're going to be scattered twice. I'm going to bring them back twice. And there, it's going to be in the day that the Gentiles are coming to the Lord. Well, here we are. We are the Gentile church. We are coming to the Lord. We have been for 2,000 years. And now we're at a place where God has brought Israel back to the land. And it's time for the coming of the Lord. We're also living in the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel from 2,600 years ago names Russia by tribes and ancient tribal connections. It names ancient Persia, which is present-day Iran, says that they'll be working together and that they'll be coming down against Israel. Well, Israel is the most hated of all of Iran's enemies, unless it's the United States, and they hate Israel, and they're doing business with Russia, and before long, according to the word of God, they'll be coming down into the area, and they'll be attacking Israel. So these settings, like when you read these, those things have to take place for the coming of the Lord or for these end time events. Well, these things, these features, these components are in place. Zechariah chapter 12 teaches us that the whole world, all the nations of the world will come against Jerusalem. Well, that's never been possible before, but now it is under the canopy of the United Nations. For the first time in history, all the nations of the earth can come against Israel. So that is in place. What I'm telling you is that all the things that have to be in place are pretty much in place to signal these end time events. So we're not just living in some place on the timeline of man. We're living in a very crucial place where the last things are happening, and we are those upon whom the ends of the age have come. A really exciting thing that's happening was prophesied by Joel and repeated by Peter, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And tonight, today rather, there are 700 million people in the earth that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. It is a fulfillment of prophecy. So everywhere I look, I see the prophecy of the word of God coming forth. And so when God answers and when the prophecy comes, we not only want to be aware of it, but we want to be ready, because there's always something for God's people to be doing. And we don't want to fall asleep in these sluggish, sleepy last days, but rather we want to be awake and alive. Anybody see the small news headline this week about a Wisconsin company that's putting small silicone chips in their employees? With that chip, they'll be able to get in the door. They'll be able to get into certain areas of the office complex. They'll be able to go and open up their computers, and they'll be able to go to the commissary or to the lunchroom and eat, and it's all right there on their hand. And we've been talking about this from the since the 70s when the technology didn't even exist. And now we're seeing it just the piece I saw was on Fox News, and it was just one of their minor little headlines, but it shouted at me because it's like, okay, here's another indication that we are there. And that is probably the technology that that will be involved with the mark of the beast. So Israel's in the land. Ezekiel 38 is happening. The players are on the board. If we go back into Daniel, we've already studied a bit of this in Daniel. Some of you are aware of it, and maybe others are not. But Daniel says that in the last times, there will be nations whose animal symbols are the eagle, the lion, the leopard, and the bear, and they will be part of end time events. And so we have studied this before and gone through it, but I'm just bringing it back to your attention that the lion is Great Britain, and the eagle is United States, and the bear is Russia, and the leopard is Germany, and those nations are here, and they are in place. And I'm just telling you that God paints this picture clearly in ages past, before there ever was a thought of a computer. God spoke to these old prophets and they wrote this business down, and you can open the ancient book and say, he's talking about my day. If he's talking about my day, then this book is true, and this book has something that I need to do to be ready to be right with God. In Daniel, when he's talking about those four animal symbols, they are separate. But in Revelation, when you find them again, you find them in conglomerate, which is consistent with the United Nations again. And now those nations are all together. Glad to tell you, though, that the eagle is not a part of that conglomerate beast, which is the Antichrist system in the book of Revelation in chapter 13. I'm glad to tell you that the eagle is not there. I don't know what that means necessarily. It may mean that we don't exist anymore. It may mean that we are the eagle's wings in Revelation chapter 12 that are used to help Israel. And we are Israel's best friend. We are Israel's strongest supporter. And we have the largest air capacity of any nation in the whole world. It might just be that we are those eagle's wings. I hope we are. You need to be good friends with Israel because God's coming back. And he takes that seriously. He's made some promises to Israel. We looked at the four seals here recently, and they are seals on a book that can't be opened until the book that is sealed closed is those seals are open, so the book can be open. And as those seals are open in the book of Revelation, they tell us about components or features that are existent in the end time or the last time. And the first four seals are the papacy or Roman Catholicism, representing 1.2 billion people in the earth right now. The second seal is red. It's communism. And you can read the discussions. Can't go back and teach that again right now. But the third seal is capitalism, and it's a black horse, and it's the description is of the stock market. And the fourth seal is a pale or green horse, and it is marked by a culture of death. And so we see Romanism, capitalism, communism, and Islam. And today, these all fall neatly into place, and they are representative of the four primary people groups or features in our world today. All the major wars are going to be fought by these entities and driven by these entities, and all the geopolitical power is in the hand of all four of these. If it's happening in the earth today, it's going to be happening by Islam, by capitalism, which is essentially Europe, North America, Australia, and Israel, or it's going to be happening by communism, or by the papacy. But all of those are present and accounted for in our world today. And this writing is from 2,000 years ago, and it's telling me about this day. And I tell you, I was excited when I first saw this, and I was excited when it proved to me the validity of the Word of God. But I am long down the trail since that day, and I am more excited about the things of God and about these prophecies right now than I've ever been. been in all my life, because we are at the door of some of the most incredible things the world has ever seen, the most notable being the sound of a trump and the coming of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody glad for the coming of the... Are you glad that God's coming, that he's made a promise? I'm glad, and I'm glad. I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be right when he comes, and I want to be found doing what he said we ought to be doing when he comes, because the parables teach us that you need to be about the work of God, or he's going to be upset with you when he gets back and found that you were a slackard. So we're talking today about the first trumps, and this has nothing to do with the family that lives in the White House. This, get that out of your mind. As Lily says, forget you ever heard that. I don't know where she got that, but it works. So we'll set these three trumps in the 1900s, and which will inform us that they have already taken place. So we are in the midst of the trumps right now. I can tell you that the sixth trump hasn't happened yet, because it's the death of 2 billion people. At the time the prophecy was given, there were not 2 billion people on the face of the earth. But it says a third of mankind is going to die, and that is going to, by today's population, that's going to entail 2 billion people dying. It has to be nuclear. That hasn't happened yet, but it's probably the next great thing to happen on the face of the earth. If you ever had a day that you wanted to be right with God, today's the day. If you ever wanted to backslide, today is not the day. Only a moron backslides today. If you know a backslider, next time you see him, say, "You, my friend, are a moron." Okay, they will take exception to that. They won't like it. But these events, the 1900s, are pivotal in terms of prophecy. At the stroke of midnight, at the beginning of that last century, the Holy Ghost was poured out in Topeka, Kansas. Now, people have gotten the Holy Ghost all through the ages, all through the centuries, but it was crucial, because this begins to be something that is marked and historically noted. And it's going to build to the place where you have 700 million people in the earth today with the Holy Ghost. All of that is going to spring from the events in the early 1900s. 6 years later, at Azusa Street, there is a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And all of your major Pentecostal groups rise up out of that. And this thing begins to get traction. And that is a major prophetic incident. All your Pentecostal organizations rise up out of that, and the apostolic church came surging up out of that. I got a neat picture the other day from a friend, and it's a picture of Brother G.T. Haywood, one of the beginning elders of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, baptizing Elder Andrew Urshan. And it's just such a neat picture to see those elders. And they are rising up out of that activity, that outpouring there in the early 1900s. And all of this is leading to the Pentecostal surge that we see today. The 1900s were extremely important. All of you that were born before 2000 said amen. All of you that were born after 2000 said amen. There's only one that knows what I said, but there's more of you here than... So here's the text. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, when I teach this in the Bible study, I go to the third trump first. And we establish that because it's such a gimme, and it's so easy to establish the event, and it's easy to establish the time. But I don't want to do that today. We'll go to the third trump in sequence here. But the first trump, I'm just going to tell you, the first trump was the First World War. And the First World War is identified, the visions. Now, you got to understand, John is seeing this, and he's seeing this as a resident of the first century BC, and he's never seen some of these things before. And he gives you just little pointed details about it. And he says this: there was hail and fire, and it was mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. If you've ever seen pictures of the landscape there in that contested area between France and Germany during the years 1914 to 1918, then the first thing that you see and the first thing you think is mud. And it's just bereft of anything green. They have installed trenches. It is trench warfare, and they've destroyed the earth. And they are using just unholy artillery barrages on one another. They have primitive aircraft that are dropping primitive bombs. They are living in mud trenches. It's a terror. They had more people die from disease than almost anything in that conflict. And it was just a terrible and a noxious situation, but it was in a 4-year period, and it totally stripped and denuded that entire area of everything green. And he said the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And that's the thing that he noticed. It's just cut away. All the green is just cut away, and there's some stumps of trees sticking up everywhere, but there's nothing else. And he said it is characterized by hail and fire. Well, I don't know how you might have described it, but probably what he's describing there is artillery barrages and the effect that that has on the terrain and on the flesh and blood that it encounters. And so you have things falling from the sky, and you have blood flying everywhere and fire flying everywhere, and you have an artillery battle is what you have. From satellite photos, you can still see the trenches and the pock marks all over that area. Even though there's a little velvet of green that's grown over it, you can still see the scars. Well, I didn't give you good instruction. That would be Japan. I didn't think I sent those yet. I must have sent the whole package. That's a lovely satellite picture of Japan. Go on a little bit since we're there. Japan was not, however, involved in World War I. They would arise later under the rising sun, and that's what happened to them, but that's not now either. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there tonight. Keep going. You're there. Maybe I sent you the wrong package. Oh, you're giving up on me. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. That's what happens when you give an elderly preacher technology. Things go wrong. So, but we just saw Japan and Japan blown up. Isn't that amazing? But that's Trump's yet to come. No, we're going to deal with that in the second Trump. So the first Trump then is 1914 to 1918, and it's the First World War. The second Trump, and that's where our pictures are going to come in, Brother Tristan. That's where our pictures are going to come in. And the second angel sounded as it were, we're in verse 8, a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So if we had started with the third Trump and worked our way back, you see this a little more clearly, but we'll get to it as we go. World War II is the greatest disaster that the world has ever known. 52 million people died in that, and there were a total of Allied and Axis ships, 105,127 ships that participated in World War II. 36,387 of them were sunk. That was like one-third of the ships. That's the kind of statistic that makes you just stop and go, huh? And you have to understand that a third, that's the fact that John gives us is that a third part of the ships are destroyed. And that's exactly what happens in World War II. A third part of the ships go down to the bottom. Now, it's hard for us to judge a third part of the sea became blood. But I'm telling you, in those naval battles and in those beachheads and in Normandy and all of that, the whole ocean was turning red with blood during World War II. And he also said that a third part of the sea creatures died. It is almost incalculable how many depth charges and how many munitions went into the sea. But if you've ever heard the old jokes about people fishing with dynamite, and you understand the compression that goes on under the water. When they were hunting for submarines and they were lobbing those depth charges by the hundreds into the Atlantic and the Pacific, they were killing every fish in the whole region. And that's just interesting. Those are just interesting things. But the rest of the prophecy says this, that there would be a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea. Now, let's look at Japan. What is Japan? Japan is an island chain of, is a mountainous chain of islands out in the midst of the sea. And what did John see? He saw mountains coming up out of the sea. And show that picture. That is a picture of a satellite image of Japan. And that also is, but the next one is a picture that was taken off the Enola Gay after the bomb was dropped. There's one there somewhere. There it is. That's the picture that the guys on the Enola Gay, the bomber that dropped the little boy and the fat man, they saw that image. They took that image. But I'm wondering what John saw. John saw from a distance an image of a mountain cast on fire into the sea. I guarantee you, he saw Japan when that bomb was going off. And he said, it's a mountain, it's in the sea, and it's on fire. But World War II is the second trump. It's a mountain on fire cast into the sea. Now, the one that really nails this down for us is the third trump. Verse 10, are you okay? And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a great lamp, a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many died of the waters because they were made bitter. This is really an interesting passage, and it really came to the public knowledge and came to the forefront of the prophetic conversation in our day in 1986 when there was an explosion at the nuclear plant in a little place in Ukraine called Chernobyl. And someone began to look into it and found out that Chernobyl in Ukrainian means wormwood, and that plant grows in profusion in that area, and the whole city, the whole little area was named after that plant. They would call it Chernobyl. We would call it Wormwood. I was teaching a Russian couple. Many of you remember them, Dmitry and Tatiana. And we were in their home, and we were down into the prophecy study. And I was telling them this story. I was telling them but it's the first Russian couple I ever taught. So I was about to tell them that in Russian, Chernobyl means wormwood. And they just looked real concerned, and they kind of busied themselves with something for a minute, and then they said, we'll get back with you on that, because they weren't aware of that. And for them, it didn't make a lot of sense. But Chernobyl is in Ukraine, and the next time we got together, they said, Pastor, we did a little reading on that, and we found out that Ukrainian for wormwood is, in fact, Chernobyl. So it was good. It was like, wow, first Russians I ever taught. You don't want to be giving misinformation to people. But it's this prophecy says it's like a star fell from heaven, like a lamp. It fell upon the third part of the waters and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, or in that place, it's called Chernobyl. Well, the same basic activity that takes place in a star takes place in a nuclear reactor. And that place melted down, sunk down into the earth, and rained radioactive material all over northern Europe and that area of the Ukraine. There was an inferiorly built nuclear plant there, and it was near a little town where most of the workers lived, and there were about 40,000 people that lived in that area. April the 26th, 1986, some of you are old enough to remember that, a Russian scientist that was running the plant at that time began to conduct some experiments, and he shut down the safety measures that were in place, and he didn't really understand what he was doing. And when he raised the rods and started the unit into activity, it overheated. It happened so quickly they couldn't do anything about it. It started to overheat, and then there was a huge explosion, and it knocked this concrete lid off the top, cocked it over on one side, and the radioactive gas and moisture and superheated water went out into the atmosphere, and it started raining radioactivity. That lid weighed about 2 million pounds. And then a second explosion happened, and it drove a nuclear cloud about a mile up into the air. And that thing filtered out all over that area and all over northern Europe. They were facing a nuclear fire. It's the first time anybody ever had to fight one of these. And there would be 10 times as much radiation released there at Chernobyl as in Hiroshima and in Nagasaki. Well, the workers heard, and they ran, and the safety crews came, and they all began to pull the doors down and begin to try to attack this fire. But it was so hot, it was melting the metal around them, and it was killing people almost instantly. Some of them, by the time they got to the first aid station, their skin was hanging off their bones in ribbons, and it was a horrible thing in its very beginning. And they brought fire trucks in, and as soon as they brought them in, they realized they were being showered with radiation, and they had to bring in bulldozers and bury the fire trucks, and then they had to bring in bulldozers and bury the bulldozers that buried the fire trucks and the helicopters, and all of the people that served on those first responder crews, almost all of them died within a short span of time, and then over a longer period of time, almost all of them developed all sorts of physical problems and cancers and things like that. Chernobyl became a ghost town. It is a ghost town today. It's off limits. It's all contaminated. Not much grows there. Just some wild radioactive animals are in the area. But the scripture said that the waters were made bitter because of the star, because of the wormwood. And when that nuclear cloud went into the atmosphere a mile high, the winds caught it. And there were traces of it in Sweden and in Italy and in Germany and into Great Britain. And it rained incessantly for the course of about 5 days after that. And so the whole area was covered with cesium-137. And everywhere the rain hit, they had brownouts where it was killing vegetation. And there's a lot of places in Europe where nothing's going to grow for the next 100 years. The rivers filled up with 137, and then that became a problem in the drinking water. There were a lot of reindeer being raised for consumption in that area. They all had to be killed. Thyroid cancer is 248 times the normal rate in that area of this disaster. And thus far, about 125,000 people have died from the direct effects of this explosion. Its name was Wormwood, and Chernobyl is the name of Wormwood in Ukrainian. as we see that and we create a prophetic timeline and we put that in place at 1986, if we were not sure about Trump's one and two, it wouldn't be hard to look at 1986 and say, what were the greatest disasters or the most significant events of the years prior to 1986. And when you look down the historical horizon there, the first thing you see is World War II, and the description fits Japan and the island, the mountain on fire in the sea, and the numbers fit. A third part of the ships went to the bottom of the sea. And then when you look on down that historic timeline and you look back beyond World War II and you think about hail and fire and blood and a denuded landscape and all the green is gone, the first pictures that come to your mind, if you're a history buff at all, would be the ravages of World War I. And so we see these first three trumps are sounded in the century prior to where we are standing right now. And I want to suggest to you that we are now standing in the midst of the trumps. We know that the sixth trump has not happened. We'll look at that tonight. The sixth trump hasn't happened yet, but we know we're standing in the middle of the trumps. I want you to understand, you can read this for yourself, but when the sixth trump sounds, 2 billion people are going to die. This is going to be a nuclear war. It's going to be a nuclear exchange, probably involving Islam, probably involving the Chinese. You've got to pile up a lot of bodies to have that kind of a death rate. But it's going to be one of the most catastrophic things that ever has happened in the earth. World War I, you had 1 million-something people die. World War II, you had 51 million people die. We're about to go into an age where 2 billion people are going to die. It's going to turn the whole world upside down. It's going to change the whole course of human history. Out of those events, the Antichrist system will arise. All of the rest of the events in the book of Revelation are going to come to pass. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit. I haven't done perhaps a good job of communicating this to you this morning. I'm not quite sure how it has come to you, but I want you to think about this. There is an expression in the Word of God. Jesus uses it. The Old Testament writer uses it, and they present this. They say, if you can't stand in a green tree, what will you do in a dry? Which means if you can't take what's going on right now, what are you going to do when trouble comes? They say, if you can't stand with the footmen, what will you do when the horsemen come? If you can't stand right now, what are you going to do when the real trouble comes? Now, I know that you have problems, and I know that you feel pressure, and I know that life sometimes can shove you around a little bit. I will tell you, though, most of what you have are new world or first world problems. I can guarantee you a third worlder would trade his or her problems with you right now and wouldn't even think about it. What I'd like for you to do in the midst of a day that is in the middle of prophetic fulfillment and God is preparing to come back to the earth, I would like for you to shake yourself somehow and rid yourself of the things that are causing you to continually look down and be anxious or be depressed. And I would like for you to begin to look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And if you can't live for God right now, friend, you better find a way to plug in to what God has for you, because the horsemen are coming. If you can't live for God right now, you better learn how to plug in, because the dry tree is coming. Our world world is about to be turned upside down. And this is not a day where you can just sit quietly in church and mark it off of your to-do list and say, well, I got that done and God's going to take care of me. But this is a day for you to become fierce in an altar and to become violent in your worship and to seek God with all of your heart. Would somebody worship him right now? Would somebody give God praise and magnify him right now? If you ever going to develop a prayer life, you better develop it right now. If you're ever going to be a soul winner, you need to be a soul winner right now. If you're going to forgive your friend, you better forgive your friend right now. I wouldn't wait a day. I wouldn't wait a moment. If you're going to be the person you know God has called you to be, you need to be that right now. If you're going to lay down the thing that's been a drag to your life and kept you from really giving yourself to God, you need to lay that down right now. We are in the midst of the trumps. The sixth trump is at the angel's lips right now. I don't know when it's going to happen, but if you've got business to do in the kingdom of God, you need to do that business right now. I wouldn't let a day go by. I wouldn't let a moment go by without getting myself right with God, without standing in a place of security with God. The parables begin to open up to me. The parables begin to call to me. And I understand that he gave to one man 5 talents and to another 2 and to another 1. And the 5 developed another 5 out of it. And he heard from God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of God. The one that received the 2, he proceeded to make another 2 out of that. And God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But to the one that he gave 1 talent to, the man said, I know he's hard, and I know he's going to be difficult to please. He buried that talent. He hid it in the earth. And when the Lord returned, he dug it up and said, here, I didn't lose what you gave me. I still have your initial investment. Jesus said, he is wicked and he is slothful. He said, you should have at least invested it so I could make a little interest on it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This is not just a day to hang on. It's not just a day to barely live for God. It's not just a day to be casually plugged into the things of. This is a day to take what God has given you, and everybody in this house has enormous, wonderful, beautiful, God-given potential. There's not a person in this house that doesn't have something gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful living down on the inside of you. And God has mandated that you take that and that you use it and that you make it grow and that you make it prosper, so that when it comes, you can say, look, Lord, because he doesn't want you to show up at the judgment with just what he gave you. God, I still have the Holy Ghost. I'm still baptized in Jesus' name. And if you've ever thought this, stop thinking this way. This is not about what you don't do. You don't want to meet God at the judgment and say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't dance with bow-legged women, you don't want to give God a list of all the things you don't do, because it's not about that. That's what coming to God entails, because you separate from the world as you come to God. But when you get to God, it's about growing, it's about becoming, it's about developing, it's about who will you be in his kingdom. Let's lift up every hand, let's lift up every voice. Let's seek the face of God. We are living in the midst of the week. We are living in the midst of the trumps. We are in the middle of Bible prophecy in this day. God's given us a sign. God's given us a chart. God's given us a way to look and see where we live in God's prophetic timeline. We're here. We are those upon whom the ends of the age is coming. What will you do with time that you have left? What will you do with the days that you have left? He's calling you to spend them wisely. It starts, if you've never been filled with his Spirit, You ought to do that today. If you come down to this altar and you repent of your sins and sincerely come to God, God will fill you with His Spirit today. You could come right now. I'm going to talk a little while more, but you could come get the Holy Ghost while I'm talking. Come on. If you've never been down in the water in Jesus' name, God will wash all your sins away. If you're bound up by something, when they call the name of Jesus over your life and the blood is applied to your life, God can break the chains and you can go free and you don't have to be bound up by that anymore. But there's an altar here for everybody that wants to grow and everybody that wants to learn and everybody that wants to forgive and everybody that wants to prosper in the things of God. You can come down to this altar right now and say, God, I don't know how much time we got left, but I want to spend it wisely. I want to be right. I want to be strong. I want to be productive. I want to be effective. Hallelujah.
Bless me more.
Come on down to this altar.
Is what I mean.
Hallelujah.
Show me your glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Show your glory.
Hallelujah.
Bless me more of you is what.
Church, look for somebody to pray with.
I need
look
your
for
glory.
Somebody to stand with.
Show me your power.
By the name above every name, by the name of Jesus.
And more of you.
That's right. Take somebody by the hand. Lay your hand on somebody. Get in there close to somebody. Let this move in every heart. Somebody cry out. Somebody cry out. Lift up your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Show me your glory. Show me your power. Less of me,
less of me, and
more of you is what I need. Show me your glory. I want your glory. Less of me.
Power, less of me.
your power.
Show me.